Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, beginning with verse 22. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 22. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word tells us that we cannot live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from you. Father, we pray that you would feed us this day, that you would nourish us and strengthen us by your word, that we might live, truly live, through you and for you. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of life, we pray. Amen. Ezekiel 36, 22 through 28. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Since the beginning of the year, we have been studying the Sermon on the Mount. And that teaching of Jesus, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, shows what life looks like following him. It shows life as his disciple. It shows life following Jesus, life in the kingdom of God. Well, this week we turn to a new study. We turn to a new book. We turn to a new genre. We turn from teaching to story. We turn from didactic to narrative. Today we begin a series on the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Now this is one of the longest books in the New Testament. In word count, this book is slightly behind Matthew and Luke. When the Greco-Roman world, in the ancient world, Acts was a category of writing. Books entitled Acts related the great words and the great deeds of great men or groups of men. In ancient literature, you will find the Acts of Alexander the Great. You will find the Acts of Caesar Augustus. Well, the Acts of the Apostles seek to relate the words and deeds of men such as John and Philip, Peter, and Paul, men who were sent by Jesus Christ into the world to proclaim the good news of his death and resurrection. And as you know, this good news spread like wildfire. In just a generation, followers of Jesus, the community of faith, the church, grew from an initial handful of followers to thousands and thousands of men and women of a variety of nationalities and ethnicities all over the Mediterranean world. It's a miraculous story. From Jerusalem to Rome and beyond in just a generation. Which shows, although men like Peter and Paul are highlighted and uplifted in the book of Acts, there really is just one main actor in the story, and that's God. Specifically, God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. the third person of the Trinity, who is co-equal with the Father and the Son, 100% God with the Father and the Son, one with the Father and the Son. In fact, this book would probably be more appropriately titled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. Well, the book of Acts is full of words. It's full of speeches and sermons proclaiming the life of Jesus Christ, proclaiming his death, proclaiming his resurrection. But the book of Acts is also full of action. It's full of travel and danger. It's full of shipwreck and imprisonment. It's full of trials and jailbreak. It's full of confrontation and conflict. It has mobs and violence, and it's all set within a changing scene of cities throughout the Mediterranean world. Well, today we're going to begin our study of this book with the first five verses. Acts 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the opening sentence of the book of Acts links it to another book. Listen again to verse 1. Listen one more time. Verse 1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Well, the first book mentioned in the first line of Acts is the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke's Gospel. The introduction of Luke's Gospel is also addressed to Theophilus. Theophilus is a name that means loved of God or friend of God. And although the identity of Theophilus is a mystery, he provides one of the links between the two books, Luke and Acts. So Luke, who was a doctor, who was a companion to the Apostle Paul, composed both of these works, the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, as one continuous storyline. He tells Theophilus, and he tells you, that in his former book, he wrote all that Jesus began to do and teach. So the Gospel of Luke, the first book in this series of two books, was just the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Just the beginning of what he did and taught. Just the beginning of his words and deeds. Now the Gospel of Luke gives a detailed count of Jesus' birth. That he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he was announced by angels to shepherds. The Gospel of Luke relates the only story we have of Jesus' childhood, when Mary and Joseph lost track of Jesus in Jerusalem, and they were frantically looking everywhere for him, and they found their 12-year-old son teaching in the temple, to the astonishment of all the learned scribes and rabbis there. Luke also tells us of Jesus' baptism. He tells us of his miracles, of his healing the blind and the lame and the deaf and the leprous, that he raised the dead, that he cast out demons. Luke also presents Jesus' teachings on the kingdom of God. It's only in the Gospel of Luke that we have the great parable of the prodigal. Luke also tells us about Jesus' betrayal, about his suffering, about his death on the cross, his death for you, for your sins, so that you might be reconciled to the Father. Luke also tells us of Jesus' resurrection, that death could not hold him, that he rose from the dead on the third day, that he conquered death, also for you. Luke says that that was the beginning. And what a beginning it was. But the story continues. The ministry of Jesus continues. The ministry of Jesus enters into a different phase. It's taken to a different level. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. It's the ministry of Jesus in a different phase. It's the ministry of Jesus taken to another level. But this next phase, this new level, does not begin until Jesus leaves, until he departs, until he is no longer present on earth in body. This new phase, this next level, does not begin until after Jesus ascends into heaven, until after he goes to heaven, until after he has seated at the right hand of the Father. But before that happens, Luke tells us that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the once dead, now alive Jesus, appeared to his apostles and to others for 40 days. For 40 days, Jesus would appear to his followers. He would be with them, eat with them, speak with them, teach them about the kingdom of God from the scriptures, showing them and preparing them for that next phase, for the next level of his ministry. Can you imagine what that was like? To be at your home preparing a meal, or to be at your home getting ready to eat a meal, or being out in your yard talking to somebody, and suddenly Jesus was there. There he was, with you, and with you just like the person sitting next to you is with you. He was there with you. Well, Luke emphasizes that Jesus appeared to his apostles. Now, apostle is a word that means sent one. It's a word that means one who is sent. An apostle is sent by an authority to represent that authority. So an apostle is like an envoy. An apostle is like an emissary. An apostle is, it's like an ambassador. Now, Luke uses the word apostle as an office, as a position, given only to a few. And here's what Luke tells us makes one an apostle. First of all, to be an apostle, you had to be chosen by Jesus. The Lord chose his apostles. They were called by him to this position. The Son of God said, "Follow me." Secondly, an apostle was a witness to the resurrection. In other words, the apostles saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Jesus revealed himself to the apostles, spoke to the apostles, taught the apostles. And finally, an apostle was sent by Jesus, commissioned by Jesus to be a witness, to point to Jesus, to proclaim Jesus, to tell about him, who he is, and what he has done. Now, there were 13 apostles. 13 apostles. There were the 12, those whom Jesus called during his ministry to follow him. Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew and the others that you can read on the back wall as you leave after church today. But the 12 also included Matthias. Now, Matthias was chosen to replace Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. Matthias was chosen to be the 12th apostle. And we'll read about that, how that went down in just a couple of weeks. And the 13th was Paul. And we're going to spend many, many days and many weeks looking at the apostle Paul. So 13 apostles, Luke says. But here at the beginning of the book of Acts, there were only 11. Only 11, and we are told this in verse 4. Listen again to verse 4. "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Now, Luke tells us that Jesus was staying with the 11. Now the verb in this sentence is a difficult one to translate from the Greek. It may actually mean eating with. Now, whether Jesus was eating with or staying with the 11, Jesus was with them. He was with the 11. And while he was with the 11, he gave them a command. He gave them an order. And his order was, stay in Jerusalem. Stay in the city. Even though they probably feared the religious leaders, they probably feared the Romans, they were ordered to stay. And what did Jesus tell them to do while they stayed? Jesus said, wait. Stay in Jerusalem and wait. The apostles were not yet sent out, but they were instructed to wait. You know what it's like to wait, don't you? It's hard to wait. Especially for those of us who like to make things happen, it's hard to wait. Especially for those of us who prize efficiency in our time, it's hard to wait. Especially for those of us who get bored really easy, it's hard to wait. But it's also hard to wait when you're not exactly sure what you're waiting on, or exactly what's going to happen, or what it's going to be like after it happens. It's kind of like this. If you're a parent, it's kind of like having your first child. You know that that baby's going to come. You're waiting on that baby. You know your life is going to be different after that baby comes. You know that nothing's going to be the same after that baby comes, but you're not exactly sure what it's going to be like. You're not exactly sure how it's going to be different. You're not exactly sure how it's going to be different hour to hour or day to day or year to year until that baby actually comes and rocks your world. And then you know what it's like. Well, Jesus told the apostles that they were to wait on the Father's promise. They were to wait on a promise that was also foretold by Jesus. And that promise was the Spirit. The apostles were to wait on the Holy Spirit. They were to wait on God the Spirit. And we read of that promise in our Old Testament passage from Ezekiel. Listen again to the words of God through the prophet Ezekiel. Listen again to part of our Old Testament reading. The Lord says, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to abide by my rules." Well, the Father promises a new heart. The Father promises you a new heart. He promises you a heart transplant, that he's going to remove your heart of stone. He's going to remove your heart full of sin, your heart weighed down by sin and hardened by sin, and he promises to give you a new heart, a heart that's cleansed by Jesus, a heart that's actually full of God. Well, how does he do that? How's that done? Well, it's through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. He promises you a new spirit, namely his own spirit, so that God himself is within you, so that God himself is dwelling within you, so that God himself is in your heart, your new heart, so that it is now a heart that desires to follow God, to follow the commands of God, to follow the laws of God, to follow the word of God, to follow Jesus Christ. That is the astounding, astonishing, mind-boggling promise of the Father. That's the promise that the apostles were to wait on in Jerusalem. They had no idea exactly what was coming. They had no idea exactly how it would happen. They had no idea how it would change them, transform them, rock their world. They had no idea how it would change the world, transform the world, and also you, sitting here in Jackson, Mississippi, almost 2,000 years later. Well, the apostles received the promised Spirit, and so do all who follow Jesus Christ. So a good question is, how do you know? How do you know if you have the Spirit within you? How do you know if you have a new heart? How do you know? Well, the answer is faith. Faith. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, if he is your Lord and Savior, if you have turned to him in repentance, then you have the Spirit of the living God. You have the Holy Spirit. Your faith is the primary indicator of the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Your faith is the primary indicator that you've received the promise of the Father, that you've received the promise that the apostles were to wait upon in Jerusalem. And this promise, the Holy Spirit, this promise was the next phase. This promise was the next level of Jesus' ministry. And here's what I mean. God the Spirit would continue the ministry of God the Son. The Holy Spirit would continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. The sin-conquering, death-defeating work of the Son was now no longer bound to a body. Jesus' body of flesh and blood. A body that was bound to the laws and limits of time and space, the order that God created. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't have those limits. The Holy Spirit is not limited by a body. The Holy Spirit is not limited by space and time. And the Holy Spirit can make Jesus Christ present within the lives of countless people all around the world, all at the same time. And that's exactly how the early church grew so quickly. And that's what we are going to see in our study of the Acts of the Apostles. The Spirit was with the witness of the apostles. The Spirit accompanied the witness of the apostles, used their witness to Jesus to open up eyes to people who were blind to Jesus Christ. And this is also how the church continues to grow. This is how the church has grown for centuries, that the Spirit is with the witness of the apostles, which is our scriptures. For centuries, God has increased his church around the world through the Holy Scriptures, illumined by the Holy Spirit, the one who was promised by the Father, foretold by Jesus Christ, given to the apostles, and also given to you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, you have made us your own, your children, through Jesus Christ, our crucified and resurrected Lord. By your Spirit, your promised Spirit, poured out upon the apostles, you have given us new hearts, cleansed hearts, hearts that are full of you. By your Spirit, you have transformed us and made us new. But Father, we know that that work is not complete. And we pray that you would continue to renew us, continue to transform us to be more and more like your Son Jesus, in the image of your Son Jesus. Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit in our lives, in and through this church, in this city, and all around the world. Father, by your Spirit, may we proclaim the gospel in power. May we be witnesses to your Son through our lives, that you would use us for your glory and for the growth of your kingdom. We pray, Father, that those who do not know your love, who do not know your mercy, who do not know your grace, would know and be given new hearts. Father, we pray that you would bless the work of those you call and send into mission. We pray especially this day for the ministry of Young Life in inner city Jackson. We pray that you would bless the leadership of Vince Gordon. Thank you for his work with Young Life for 20 years. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage him and volunteers. And may your Spirit transform the youth that this ministry touches through its programs, meetings, and summer camps. Father, we also pray this morning for our nation, for our country, for our land. We pray for our leaders that you would grant them wisdom. We pray especially this day for our state leaders, for our Governor Phil Bryant, for our legislature, and for our courts. May we, your people, continue to dwell in peace so that we might serve you. We also pray this day for our armed forces serving near and far. Grant them your protection and give peace to their families whom they have left behind. Father, we also offer our prayers for those whom we know, those whom we love, those who we are not even acquainted with, but all who are those who need you now. We pray for the sick, the lonely, the depressed, the struggling, the recovering. We pray for those who are lost in sin or lost in addiction. We pray for those seeking to mend broken relationships. We pray for those who mourn, for those who need guidance and direction, for the weary and the burdened. Father, grant your healing, your peace, your patience, your wisdom, your guidance, your strength, your spirit. We pray especially this day for John and Nancy Walker, for Emily Cruz, for Mary Lee Furr, for John Caldwell, for Katie Cutchins. Father, all these prayers we offer to you in the name of your Son, our High Priest and Intercessor, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.